Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
We are so glad to have each of you with us. This month, we're looking at tips for marriage. This is kind of the beginning of the season of weddings. A lot of people are planning them. A lot of people getting married through this month and next month and June. And so we're just spending some time talking about some tips for marriage. We, between the two of us, Jason and I, we have a total of about 70 years of marriage. And every time I say that, you do that.
It's a lot.
Oh, okay. And so in our first lesson, we talked about faith. That's where you have to begin. That's a foundation. So much of life, it's going to take you up and down, and you have no idea where you're going to wind up sometimes or where things will take you. And that foundation in Jesus, both of you having that foundation in Jesus, is supreme. And before you talk about anything else in a couple's relationship, it must begin always with faith in the Lord. From that, we talked about finances. And we encourage you, if you didn't grab those lessons, they're on our podcast, our website. We went through some things last week, just some practical things about finances. Finances right now are one of the leading causes of divorce in marriage, and there's just lots of problems. You know, the idea of online gambling, it's becoming a major commercial now on TV and on the radio. A lot of people are getting caught up in gambling, and it's ruining them. And again, these are some simple principles that we need to talk about. Well, that takes us to today in our third lesson, and we're following the F letter. We talked about faith and finances, and so today we're going to talk about family. And again, some tips for marriage concerning family. And really, there's two different avenues that we want to travel down and talk about this. We want to talk about the aspect of a couple getting married or just married, the idea of family. And when you get married, it's not my family and his family or her family. It's now our family. And you marry into a family, good, bad, or ugly. That's what happens. But then the other avenue we want to talk about is on the avenue of the parents. Your children are getting married, and some things about that. All of my children are married, and there's some things we've had to learn, sometimes a hard way, about when your child is married. And there's some things about that. So I think one of the great verses that really underscores this is first found in Genesis chapter 2. The Lord would repeat this in Matthew chapter 19. But in Genesis chapter 2, Moses writes through the Holy Spirit, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That leaving his father and mother. He's not talking about location. Now, there's an old saying I used to use in weddings that they used to give advice to young couples, and that is to live three rivers and two mountains away from your parents. You know, that doesn't mean much anymore, but that's what they used to say. Really, what he's establishing here is you're leaving mother and father. You're in a sense establishing an independent, separate home. And with that is coming the maturity level. Someone who's not mature enough to pay the bills, someone's not mature enough to live on his own. He has to have constant advice from mom and dad to function. Really not ready to get married. And so this leaving has to do with the idea that we're establishing a separate, independent home. And that are some things that comes with that.
Yeah, I mean, the word there is a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And I think that's significant. We're not talking about a boy, right? We're not talking about someone who is still very much looking towards adults to tell them how to be an adult. We're talking about someone who is ready to be that leader, not just physically, but most importantly, going back to our first conversation, spiritually.
Absolutely. And so let's go down the first avenue of talking about the couple. And there's some things that you just have to understand. It's kind of like two rivers that come together. You've got one river and another river, and they come together. There's a little mixing at first, and then it smooths out to be an independent river on its own. There are traditions both families have. And when you come together and you're going to establish your own home, you have to establish your own traditions. I think one of the first times this comes up is at the holidays. Well, we always have Christmas on Christmas Eve. Always. Well, you're now your own home. And I have to share my time with another family. And there are some things that come up. We always do it this way. I remember one of our very first Christmases when Debbie and I were married. And her family, you know, when you sit around, one person got a Christmas gift and everyone watched them open it. In my family, it was like the hogs going to the trough, you know, paper flew. Everyone could just open everything up at the same time. And then it was all over. Then you looked at it.
Did you start to open it while everybody was waiting their turn at her house?
Well, no, you know, and so, you know, so those are two totally opposite ways of a simple thing of how do you open presents. Well, we had established our own rules. This is how we're going to do it in our house. And so those are some things that you're bringing in the traditions and the way you were raised. And we always did it this way. And we always did it this way. Or we always went camping at the 4th of July. Well, we always did this. And now you're leaving father and mother. And so one of the first aspects of that is you have to understand that I may be doing things differently than the way I first was raised because we're establishing a separate home. So part of that means learning to stand, learning to be mature enough to say, this is what is going to work for us. And in our house, this is what works for us. It's also involving the idea of making the decision and sticking with us. You do it this way. I did it this way. Let's come together and let's do it this way. And relying on one another, I think, is a key. Talking things together, relying on each other, and not just having someone to tell me this is how you have to do it. Not running to mom, not running to dad. And part of this leaving father and mother is that if there's a difference, there's a problem, there's an argument, and there's always little things that come up in the marriage, not running back home. You know, I had a fight, I'm going to run back home. No, you stay there because you've left father and mother and you work it out. You cool down, you pray about it, you do what God wants you to do, but you learn that this is an independent home now and we have to live with that.
Yeah, it is hard to improve on the verb that God himself uses there in Genesis 2 verse 24. Like you said, it is repeated by the Son of God in Matthew 19, hold fast. Hold fast to his wife, right? We are not holding fast to our own traditions. We might have enjoyed those traditions. We might even feel like those traditions are better than the traditions of this new spouse. But what we are being called to is not to hold fast to just the past for the sake of the past, but to hold fast to first and foremost your wife, your husband, right? And Jesus amplified that in Matthew 19 when he said, so they are no longer two but one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate. And so this idea of running away from each other every time there's a problem, obviously that's not what the Lord is talking about. But I think too, just to really emphasize, Roger, what you're saying, it is God who has joined this man and woman together. And what God joins together, he wants to stay together.
Absolutely. This is not Velcro, as our culture uses it. This is something to be glued together. And so we have to establish that, and that we have left father and mother, and we just do things differently. And again, it's amazing how many just little things come up that are so, you know, this is the way I was raised. Well, that's the way I was raised. And you bring them together, and then you got to figure out, well, maybe we don't like either way. or maybe this one way was better than the way I was raised. But you're going to do it because this is what works for you. And see that. And then to be able to stand, why do you do this? Well, we do this because my mom told me to do this, or my dad told me to do this. We do this because we've decided this is what's right for us.
Yeah.
And that's so important that they do that.
Roger, I am privileged, along with one of our deacons here at Charlestown Road, to lead a small group of young couples. We are just so blessed with so many couples in this church family. And we get together once a month, and one of the very first things that we talked about was this idea of love and respect. You might have even read that book, Love and Respect. But there's a phrase there that we highlighted and spent an hour or so talking about, and it has really become a catchphrase for so many of our ongoing discussions. The author of that book said it's important to remember, okay, when there are differences, it's not wrong, it's just different, right? Sometimes our knee-jerk reaction when maybe we're talking about new traditions or new habits, new ways of building this new home, if it's different, maybe I automatically think, well, it's wrong, or it's not as good. My way is better. No. It's not wrong. It's just different. And if we will give the grace and the time and the patience that a healthy marriage requires, a lot of times what started out as different, in fact, turns out to be better.
Absolutely. And one of the leading causes of friction in a marriage is the in-laws and the outlaws. I mean, that's just it. And so that immediately takes us down this next avenue, and that's the role of the parents. It is your child who's leaving father or mother, and they're going to cleave to their mate. And so, as a parent, you have to realize just what Jason said. Your child, as a grown adult, may do things differently than you do. And you may even think, I don't like what they're doing. Until it crosses the border in the line of doing wrong. As a parent, you just got to watch it. Sometimes our advice is too much, and sometimes we get too opinionated. And that's what really hurts sometimes a younger couple, is when the parents on one side or both sides are telling this couple what to do. And the leaving of father and mother is only possible if the parents allow that. You know, when I think about that story, the prodigal son has nothing to do with marriage. But when that prodigal wanted to go in the far country, his father let him go. And we have to realize that when our children get married and they want to establish their own home, we have to let them do that. Now, if you see your child doing something that's going to keep them out of heaven, yes, you should say something. Yes, you should pray about that. And yes, you should implore to do everything about that. But if they're just painting the walls a color that you don't like, well, too bad. You know, or if you go to their house and you think, oh, this furniture, or they have so many pets, or so, you know, I mean, the list can be long and long and long. You know, they sleep in too long on Saturday. They do this, they do this, they do. You have to realize they can go to heaven that way. And unless it's going to keep them out of heaven, as a parent, unless they seek your advice, you just have to learn that they are doing things differently. And that is so hard as a parent. Because all their life we've told them what to do. Even when they went off to college, we kind of told them what to do. And we advised them and guided them and always told them, now they have left you. They've left father and mother. And they have established their own home. And so one of the things that parents have to understand and appreciate is you have to be able to differentiate between what is wrong and what is different. And they may do lots of things that are different. I know all my kids do things, lots of things differently than I would do it. But you know what? It can get, as long as it doesn't keep them out of heaven, I just have to be quiet. And that's important.
You know, Roger, you are further down that path than I am, but I am very much approaching this whole idea. In fact, with our oldest, we are beyond this point where you've got to find that balance, it seems to me, as a parent, where you might even know, okay, this particular choice, this particular trajectory, it's not morally wrong. Like you said, if it's morally wrong, as a parent, you've got to offer that wise counsel that the Bible is calling you to offer. It's not morally wrong, but you can tell, okay, there are going to be consequences to this decision that maybe you don't see coming, or I'm not sure this is the wisest trajectory. And rather than taking you one step forward, it might take you two steps back. But reaching that point as a parent where you are willing to let your child make mistakes in order for them to learn on their own and deal with the consequences of those choices, right? If we always bail our children out and never allow them to experience the ripple effects of their own choices, that in and of itself can be unhealthy. But boy, letting go so that the choices they make, whether it's the choice we would make or not, they're going to live with, they're going to deal with, they're even going to deal with the ripple effects of that. That's quite a transition.
It is. And you know, just following that line, not always coming running to bail them out financially. Your kids may make some mistakes, and you may just have to watch them, and you may just have to see them learn some lessons. That's hard as a parent, because by the time your children are of age to get married, most of us are in position in our careers that we've got some money, and we've been doing this a long time. And so you see your child struggling, and sometimes it's because they've just made some dumb choices. And you could just easily send them a check and help them out, but sometimes that's not the best answer. And sometimes you have to make them see and have them learn some lessons that's important to that. And that's hard to do as a parent. But again, that's part of that maturity. It's part of getting them to grow up. Same thing happened to us when we were young. Most of us have made some really dumb mistakes. I've bought things I should never have bought. And, you know, you kind of suffer for that after a while. But then you learn and you mature and you make wiser decisions. But had somebody always been there just handing money out right and left, I probably would still be buying dumb stuff. And so that's something you have to learn. Now, I think another important lesson down this avenue of parenting, this also is very difficult for parents, is that you have to learn to share your child with another family. And so once again, we come back to this idea of holidays or summer vacations, and we always get together. The entire family always goes to Disney, or the entire family always goes to, you know, Yellowstone or wherever we go. But on this occasion, the one that's married is not coming because they're going to do some things with the spouse's parents. And that can just ruffle feathers sometimes. And so again, learning that when they get married, I'm having to share them. And there's going to be some times and they're going to take a vacation and they don't want you to come along because you're the parent and they're going to do their own thing. And so there's lots of little lessons like that that I think as a parent, this idea of leaving is as much for them as it is for the person getting married. And there's lots of things in that can help the relationship. It can make it very healthy and strong. You can become very close with each other, or it can be the very thing that causes people to stumble, and they can be resentment. And I've seen cases where the son will go home to his mom and dad, but his wife doesn't come. And because there's ill feelings, things were said, things are just taken the wrong way. And that just makes an unhealthy relationship. And so you want what's right. You want to do what's good for your child who gets married. But those are some things I think, again, helps us to keep that down that mind.
Yeah. When it comes to the mistakes that you were talking about earlier, or the decisions that are made, only thing that I would add is, all right, make those mistakes together. Recover from those mistakes together as a young couple, a husband and wife. There may be times that one of you makes a financial mistake, but you're not going to hold that over the other's head, right? Okay, this is a mistake that we're both learning from. We're both going to recover together from this. We're making a decision maybe that would ruffle some feathers, but this is a decision that we're going to make together, and we're not going to describe it as, well, this was his decision or that was her decision. This is our decision. I so think it is really important that pronoun change for the young couple, that it was him and her, he and she, but in the incubator of this young marriage, now it's we and us and our.
Absolutely. It's no longer me and I, it's us. And so part of that leaving and cleaving and becoming one is not just physical, but it's financial. It's not her money and my money. She has a job. I have a job. And no, it's we're one. It's not in our goals. It's not in our family. It's her family. It's my family. No, it's one. We're one. And it's one in our dreams. It's one in our conversations. And it's just that oneness. And that's the idea that I think it needs to be really impressed upon them, is that you together are journeying together. You need to be praying together. You need to open the Bible together. You need to be worshiping together. It's that togetherness. It's that oneness that will make a huge difference in your life and your walk with the Lord.
Valuable tips for marriage. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. And of course, we appreciate all of our listeners for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope our conversation and this series of conversations has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.